Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cosmo Pharmaceuticals Half Year Results 2014 conference call. I'm Joya, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to the management team of Cosmo Pharmaceuticals. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alessandro Della Chà here, together with Chris Tanner and Luigi Moro. The agenda of this conference call is the following. We would like to make a brief introduction and present you the first half highlights. Then Chris Tanner shall make a more thorough review of the first half. Luigi Moro will give you an update on the pipeline, and we will have some a final word on the outlook for the whole year. Then we will open the question and answer session. In respect of the highlights, as we have stated, we are very happy because things seems to be moving all in the right directions. Uceris net revenues estimated now should have exceeded 100 million for the first half of the year. In the meantime, the Lialda market share has continued to improve and now is more or less 31% of the five ASA market. Our clinical development programs are all on time. Phase 3 clinical trials for methylene blue in North America and European Union are proceeding well. It took a little bit more than expected to start them because the procedure is very complicated, and there are several obligations and undertakings that all centers have to respect. They have not been familiar with managing such a sophisticated trial that requires continuous recording and a lot of bureaucratic activities. So it took a little bit more than expected to start it, but now we're going just fine. The development of our new submucosal injectable composition is proceeding well. We had a meeting with the FDA, a pre-submission meeting with the FDA on the 23rd of June that went well. We got the confirmation that SIC can be considered the medical device, that no specific clinical trials will be required, so we still foresee hopefully the approval as scheduled at the beginning of 2015. We have completed the CBO-301 phase 2 clinical trials for acne. We think that the results are quite encouraging, and we also think that we have reached a statistical significance, although the phase 2 trial was not powered to show statistical significance. So we're very happy that we have been able to recover the license agreement from Valeant, basically just undertaking that we will give Valeant a right of first refusal should we ever decide to license out that product. Again, for us, the termination of the license agreement was a very important step for the building up of a dedicated derma franchise, and we trust that CBO-301, both for the acne indication and alopecia indication, could be a powerful product to engineer this derma franchise. As you probably all know, in the beginning of the year, we have completed our sale of the remaining Santarus shares. The net profit was 65 million euros, and for the first time here in this half year, we have paid our dividend of 1 euro per share, and we've also repurchased 4% of the shares in a public share buyback. I think that in terms of highlights, this is also, I would like to pass the word to Chris Tanner for a more thorough analysis of our figures. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. If you look on the presentation, we'll go past page 5 and immediately go into the details to explain the details of the revenues If you look, our operating revenues increased by 54.6% to $41 million, primarily driven by a very strong increase in royalties by over 100% to $14.8 million. And what's interesting to see, I think, and we'd like to point out, is we're sort of moving from the Lialda area into the era, into the Uceris era, because Uceris royalties are substantially higher than the Lialda royalties. Uceris royalties reached $8.9 million, whilst Lialda royalties reached $5.9 million. And as you know, we will no longer be getting royalties moving forward for Lialda. Then the MMX manufacturing increased by nearly 100% as well to 16.6 million euro, with Lialda manufacturing increasing by 24% to 8.9, and also Uceris manufacturing nearly reaching the same levels, namely 9 million euro. What's nice to say is that the classical contract drug manufacturing business also increased by 9.4% and is providing to be a stable source of revenue as it has in the past, reaching 5.9 million. All in all, if you then look, and as we've been saying in the past, we want to migrate the company from being a company that manufactures for third parties to a company that manufactures for its own. And as you can see, we now get 85% of all revenues from own products, up from in the past 78.8%. We got less license fees and milestones, but you know that these are sometimes sporadic events. They happen sometimes this half, sometimes next half. Last year we had one milestone, which was a $7 million for the first time for the first sale of Uceris, and this half year we had $5 million for the first time where new Uceris sales exceeded $75 million. Looking at the operating costs, these increased as well, but not by nearly as much, namely only by 32.2% to 26.5 million, with COGS, and I think this is important, the COGS part only increased by 5.7%, and this is on a long-term basis, which you must focus on, because it demonstrates on what it costs for us to manufacture all these products, which we're increasingly selling in the market. SG&A increased by 58% to 7.2 million, and R&D expenditures increased by 59% to 9.2 million. These were very heavily driven by the ongoing phase 3 clinical trials, which Luigi may talk some more about down the line. In detail, the raw materials and consumables only increased by 5.7%. Personnel expense increased by 20% on the back of headcount increasing by 11%. And we did have an allocation from the ESOP, which was awarded in March. The advertising and marketing costs increased by 1.5 million because we ran a Zacol advertising campaign at the beginning of the year. Whilst the R&D increase was driven by the Methylene Blue and the CBO301 trials, as well as for the startup costs in the development of the SIC-8000. EBITDA consequently increased by 103% to 19 million. And then, of course, we had the all-important gain of 65 million euro on the sale of our 2.99 million Santara shares. To be precise, the gross proceeds were $95.7 million or 70 million euros, and this gave us a net gain of 65 million because we had purchased these for these shares for 1.77 euro on average some time ago. Consequently, the net profit increased by 21.3% to 76 million, whilst comprehensive income declined by 76%, but this was due to the fact that the increase in the share price was already reflected in the comprehensive income of the last statement. So from a comparable basis, this is not reflected. If you look at the financial position, I'm now on page 10. As Alex said at the beginning, we use 14.3 million cash to pay dividends and 46 million cash to buy back the 4% shares. So these, if you want, these $60 million were distributed to shareholders. This was financed by a decrease in cash and cash equivalents of 17.6 million, but we still have 28.7 million cash, and we continue having 108 million what we call financial investments, of which the great bulk are investments in liquid instruments, namely bonds and other things that we could sell on the market on very short notice. Intangible assets decreased by 18.7% to 13.4 million because we have amortized, we're continuing to amortize the capitalized Uceris and Cortiment R&D costs, which we incurred while going into phase three. On the liability side, there's very little to be said because our short-term loans are so small, and they declined by 1.8% to 2 million, primarily because they increased by 1.8% because we had some longer-term loans being moved to the short-term side. On the medium-term side, the medium-term loans and borrowings declined by 1% to 8.8 million, and these 8.8 million primarily consist of leasing obligations, which we incurred when we purchased the manufacturing entity and are in conjunction with the real estate that we have. The equity attributable to the owners of the company decreased by 45.7, primarily, of course, because of the payments of the shares we repurchased and because of the dividend payments we made. And we now have, as we had before, 14.99 million shares outstanding, and we have 741,000 treasury shares on the books, which we purchased at an average price of 79.64 Swiss francs. All in all, 87.6% of total assets are financed by equity, so we have a very strong financial position. I don't know whether it makes sense to go into the details of the cash flow statement, but if you see, you can see the graphics on page 12, which give you an impression size-wise, where the cash was used and where it came from. But all in all, I think that we can say that we, in sum, of course, a bulk of the cash was generated from the sale of the Santara shares, but we also generated substantial operating cash, and we continue having a very strong cash position. Luigi will now lead you through the pipeline update.
Okay, in slide 14, you see the general pipeline of the project that we are currently in the development, and you see all the progresses that has been recorded during this period. The main product that we have are the two products that are in the market already in some country and are still under development in other. I'm talking about the Alda and the Uceris. Maybe that Chris would comment shortly the income data for the Alda and Uceris.
Yeah, I think on the Alda, if we break it down on the Alda side between what is earned on the manufacturing side and what is earned on the royalty side, in the Alda we have 5.9 million on the royalties, and we have $8.9 million. On the manufacturing side, I think go on to you, Matt, PG.
Well, the revenue from Uceris and the Alda, by the way, are in the slide 15 and 16, and you can check what are. As far as the more property development project, we are talking about three of them shortly: Rifamycin, Methylene Blue, and SIC. Rifamycin is transferring the clinical trial from India into the Latin America. This is the second pivotal trial that we need in order to have access to the submission and registration in the United States and in the other country in Europe. This is managed by our partner Falk and is recruiting the 200 patients that we need in order to complete the 1,000 patients that has been foreseen as a sample size. The completion of these clinical trials is foreseen in the next 6-7 months. Diverticulitis is a phase 2 trial for a new indication of our antibiotic MMX drugs, and is managed by FALK in 5 European countries as starting the recruitment, and it is planned to recruit more than 400 patients in five countries, and the completion of these clinical trials is foreset for the end of next year. All the 2 clinical trials are under enrollment, and there are no safety concerns about the data that has been generated in this clinical investigation. And as far as the methylene blue, the situation is under control in the phase 3. You know that is a new technology that required by 15 clinical investigation sites in the world, the most key opinion leader for endoscopies, to participate first to take confidence with the protocol and with the technology, and then to increase the enrollment status in order to fulfill the enrollment by the We are more or less in track on this clinical trial, and the first comment from the investigators was very successful for us. SIC is a new project that we are developing as a medical device. It is in the same segment of endoscopy because it is a useful tool for the endoscopy to lift the mucosal region that has to be removed if some polyps or neoplasia has been found during the endoscopy. We had a meeting with the FDA at the end of June that was completely successful. We present our program for the clinical and preclinical test, and the same meeting has been replied last week in Rome with the European side. So now we have to fulfill the preclinical test that will take more or less 3 months, and by the end of this year we are ready to make the submission both in Europe and in the United States. Alex already talked about the ACB-0301. Let me only comment that we plan to have an end of phase 2 meeting with discussion of phase 3 protocol with the FDA at the end of September, and we'll start immediately with the activity to prepare this pivotal trial for next year. In the alopecia, we obtained the IND by the FDA, and we are working just to start with the clinical trial phase 2 proof of concept that we plan to start in September, and will take 1 year in order to be completed.
Do you have any other comments?
Now it's time to say something about the outlook for 2014, and clearly, given what we've been doing in the first 6 months, and also considering that at the beginning of July, so just a few days out of the first half, we've signed the merger transaction with Salix, I think we can easily conclude that the outlook for the whole year is very good. From the standpoint of the operations, we expect a continued growth of sales in Uceris. Some of you may be aware of the fact that there is a commercial milestone that is due to Cosmo at the reach of $150 million sales in a year. This milestone, if I remember correctly, is 15 million.
17.
Oh, sorry, so 17 and a half. 17 million and a half. And actually, we cannot project whether that will be reached or not, first because we do not know what's going to happen to the sales of Uceris, but also because we do not know when the prospective closing of the transaction with Salix will be foreseen. As some of you may know, this depends from one side from the FTC approval, on the other side from the shareholders' approval, and the shareholders' approval by Salix can take place only after all the relevant documentation has received the SEC clearance. So it's difficult to forecast exactly when the closing may occur. If we look at what has happened in comparable deals, the average time from signing to closing is about 130 days. So this means around November, and it's difficult to predict whether we will have reached enough Uceris sales to gain the expected milestone. Again, from the standpoint of the operations, the cap in Lialda has been attained. So we expect a continued growth in the manufacturing revenues, but this is not going to be any more an important component on our profits and our revenues. And there's just normal development ahead in the general contract drag manufacturing. Clinical development, restart the phase 3 and for rifamycin in Latin America, and the phase 2 meeting with the FDA for CB03-01 that will take place, as Luigi has just said, around the mid of September. We will continue the proof of concept of the alopecia. We will complete the phase 3 methylene blue trials in North America and EU, and we will continue the development of our genital warts trial. The most important thing, as we said, is from the business development standpoint, is the hopeful conclusion of the closing of the Salix transaction, and we may even start considering opening licensing discussion for the SIC 8000. So I think this is all with our presentation, and I'll be happy to open the Q&A session. Thank you.
The first question comes from Chung Hyun from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's actually Peter from Jefferies here. I've got a couple of questions, a couple financial and then a couple strategic, please. So firstly, on the financials, I wondered, is it fair to assume that R&D should increase in the second half of the year, and can you give some sort of idea as to the extent of that? And secondly, as well, then, on the potential gain on the Salix transaction, could you provide some sort of outline as to the potential cash and also P&L tax rate we should be assuming for that one-off gain from the Salix deal? And then just strategically, you mentioned the SIC 8000 and the potential business development process. Have you concluded that Cosmo will not have any future sales and marketing in this drug, and the aim is to out-license the SIC, or is it potentially still an option that you may consider commercializing it yourself in select geographies? Thank you.
Okay. Shall we start answering the last question? Regarding the licensing process for SIC 8000, well, as you know, this product is not part of the Salix transaction, but there are certain undertakings that we have agreed upon with Salix that provides that we will need to give them a right of first offer on whatever comes new out of our pipeline. So I think that if the Salix transaction closes, we will have to match our need to place and develop this product together with the fact that we do have provided Salix with the right of first refusal. So we will have to discuss them first, and then eventually look for alternative solution if they would prove not to be interested in it. Even the selection, as you said, of the proper geography may depend very much on what we may be willing to do together with our new partner. In respect of the question on the treatment of the gain, well, if the Salix transaction closes, we will record a gain, but the gain will be recorded just under the consolidated IFRS, so this is not going to have any tax impact on our accounts. Prospectively, if we will sell, then there will be a profit which may be taxable depending on the entity who performs who performs the sale. If that would be an Italian entity, the participation exemption in Italy, for instance, is not total. It provides a 1.4 more or less percent capital gain tax. So this means that if you sell the whole stake, you would need to pay this amount, this 1.4, which is maybe high in absolute amount, but very low in relative terms, because a 1.4% capital gain is very low. Anyway, we will not have to book any tax consequences for entering into the deal with Salix, because we're not actually selling anything, but we're just diluting our interest in Cosmo Technologies, which is the corporate vehicle that's going to be used for the transaction.
With reference to the R&D expend, which you talked about before, we don't expect this to be increasing in the second half because the CB0301 trial is finished. And the next phase 3 trial is unlikely to start. If it starts this year, then it will be very late, so it's going to be in next year's. So we will only be having the cost for the ongoing methylene blue trial, which is, so they will be declining vis-a-vis the cost which we had in the first year. Did we cover all your questions, Peter? Or is there something that remained open?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Just returning, if I can do, though, to the SICK 8000. I guess, should we understand then that given obviously this product was already very low risk at the time of the Salix transaction, should we understand that their interest in this product is uncertain, or was there some sort of risk attached to the FDA and EMA meetings that wanted to be established before? Because I guess I'm just a bit curious as to why, if you sort of seem quite confident they may consider their right of refusal, but given obviously they knew about this product before the transaction, it would perhaps make sense for it to have been included in the deal in the first place. So could you just sort of put the timing of events in context to help us better understand that? Thank you.
Well, you know, the more product you would include into the deal, the more dilution for their shareholders. So there had to be found a kind of a reasonable compromise with the product that would take part of the deal, and also with the perspective dilution. As you know, this product will not be immediately producing revenues, so there was an issue in respect of the accretion, dilution. We just discussed it together, and we thought that this would have been the best compromise. I hope this answers the questions.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Bob Pooler from Valuation Lab. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Congratulations on the excellent result. Just a couple of questions on Uceris. First of all, in the U.S. there, have you actually seen the impact from the combined Salix and Terris sales force? So actually, is also growth part due to, increased marketing muscle behind the product? And then secondly on that, have you also seen a price hike in the U.S.?
What I can say in respect of the impact of the sales force, there certainly is a significant impact. We are in the process of assessing exactly what is going to happen, because there's also been a strong build-up of inventory from the side of Salix that, because it had an expanded sales force, also wanted to make sure that the product was largely available. So I think we will have a more clear outlook by year end. But certainly, yes, we can see that there's a gigantic effort to promote the drug as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And on pricing, was there anything with pricing in the U.S.?
No, I'm not specifically aware of anything in that respect.
Okay, so it's really good, strong underlying volume growth.
Although you know that there is a tendency in the U.S. to progressively increase the prices year over year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then actually on Cortiment, but sort of new series too. I just have a question. What is taking faring so long with the EU launch? The EU approval was in February 2013, and looking at the slides, they're going to launch in 2015.
Well, the MRP procedure is ongoing. It is planned to be concluded in August. This leaves faring the time to manage and plan the launches of the product. I can say that they are planning some European country by the end of this year and the plenum of the European country next year.
And have they already started price negotiations, reimbursement negotiations?
They are in a good progress to put together the booklet that are useful for price negotiation with every country. And so I think that they have already taken contact with some of them, the more important one. And they are in a good progress to have to obtain a good price.
Okay. Well, Luigi, I have you on the line now. On methylene blue MMX, could you confirm, so the phase 3 will be completed at the end of this year, and then the headline results, they will be early next year. Is that correct?
We are on track with the plan.
Okay. And your expected review timelines for methylene blue?
Typically, the review time for all the agencies is theoretically 9 months, effectively 12 months. So you have to consider 1 year.
Yeah, just a normal review. Okay. And then on the topical anti-androgen, the funding of the phase 3 trial in acne in Q4 2014, that will be funded by the company itself? Or are you saying this is something that we will be looking for partnering or with the spin-off?
We are now in the process, as we have explained to investors in Zurich, we are now in the process of assessing the value of each of the piece of the pipeline. Our intention is that to spin off the Derma franchise, whether by means of a partial private placement mm-hmm. or of an IPO. But, you know, we don't think that given our cash position also, we don't think that we have to rush. So whatever mm-hmm. needs to be done right now will be clearly funded by Cosmo Pharma. And as I said, we are in the process of assessing the value of the pipeline and the feasibility of a private placement / IPO. I think that we will have much clearer ideas around the end of September.
End of September, okay. And then just to finish off my questions, just on Zekol and MX, what is the status in Italy, and are you thinking of maybe a rollout in other countries?
Well, the TV campaign has proven very successful, and the old ad campaign has proven very successful. Mm-hmm. So we are currently discussing about the opportunity to export the model, although, you know, you cannot really expect to earn as much selling something like Zacol mm-hmm. compared to other products that which have a way higher added value. So it has been a very good experiment, and now we're in the process of assessing if and when to export the model.
Okay, but you're expecting on the $1.5 million on the advertising a nice return coming back from Italy on revenues from that expenditure.
No, to be very frank, we didn't expect to have that much of return from there. We were just happy to cover our cost and just you know it was, I think, a very good testing to mm-hmm. see how the MMX for nutraceutical may work actually. It was a testing, and when we will finish the experiment, even we will be very happy with that.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering the questions again. Congrats with the excellent results.
Thank you so much.
The next question comes from Trung Yoon's and Peter's line from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes, just following up on actually a question there, which is, could you just give us some sort of idea at this early stage as to what you think a pivotal phase 3 trial in acne for 0301 could cost during 2015 and 2016, just a sort of ballpark idea? And I guess related to that, I think Mauro always very firmly believed that Cosmo should retain profitability throughout the cycle. Given, obviously, now a lot of the economics have been transferred potentially to Salix, and given, obviously, the investment you could be looking at, is that still a rule that you'd wish to live by, or is it possible that could change in the near term, given the company is now a very, very different species from when it started? Thank you.
Well, you know, Peter, we have already made some assessment, and we are in the process of refining all the data now that we come closer to the end of a phase 2 meeting with the FDA. Clearly, it will very much depend on the protocol, but our current rough estimate is that the whole trial should cost between $20 and $25 million over 2 years' time. So still something that we could easily afford it ourselves if for whatever reason we would think that would be the case. I don't know if this answers your question.
Yeah, I guess it does. I guess so. Just on if it were to be more expensive, if safety trials were large, if I guess just on the profitability point, is retaining a positive EBIT result still something you wish to, you wish the company to aim for, or is it less relevant now?
No. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we've been previously making a flag of the fact that we've always been profitable since the day one, and then you have to consider that if the Salix transaction goes through, we will be manufacturing the product basically at a royalty because it's 5% on net sales. So yes, we do think that the company will continue being profitable. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have no more questions at this time.
Okay, so no further questions. So thank you very much for participating and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.